Hey everybody, well it's 11. Welcome to our first annual Teens in the Green here at West End. If you don't know who I am, I'm McCord Thomas. I'm this week's PR guy, so if you have any questions or just want to chat, just feel free to come up and talk to me. Well, we want to start off by thanking everyone. We want to thank the elders for allowing us to have this weekend together. And we want to thank all those individuals that have worked hard to put this together, and then all the donors that have so graciously given to be able to put on this weekend. And we want to thank the two preachers, Wilson Adams and Phil Robertson, for taking time out of their busy schedule and coming and helping us out for this weekend. And we want to thank you guys for coming and making all this possible and making an exciting weekend. So if you guys want to open your folder, there's a detailed schedule in your folder, and if you have any questions about that or any concerns, just feel free to come up to me or anybody here that hopefully they'll be able to answer your question. And you'll be able to leave that folder here at the building. You don't have to take that with you if you don't want to. So tonight we are going to start off with a word of prayer from Cameron Embry, and then we'll go into the lesson with Phil, and then after that we'll have our singing.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to gather here this evening and to learn more about your word. Please help us to be strengthened by the things that are said during this weekend, and please help us to apply it to our lives. Thank you for all that you have given us, and thank you for the many things that you will. In your Son's name, amen.
All right, if you're sitting in the back, come on up. Nobody up here has COVID, I promise. Come on up. You don't necessarily have to squeeze in, but nobody on the back rows. If you've got an empty pew in front of you, that means you get to move up. Move up. The best part about wearing a mask, nobody can smell your breath either. Isn't that awesome? It doesn't matter, man. Eat what you want. You just have to smell it. Anybody sung in a mask yet? A man sing in a mask? Oh, man, don't drink coffee and then go sing in a mask. I'm going to tell you that right now. I was going to give you a little heads up on that one. And be careful about eating too many scrambled eggs. Just words of advice, you know. Come on up. Hey, you got empty pews. Come on up, fellas. You got to get in front of the young teenagers in front of you there. Come on up. We got places up here. You're going to want to squeeze on up. Now, here's what I need you to do, and you're going to be free to move around. Find a partner or two, because we're going to begin with a game, and it's cash prizes. So you can have as many people as you want on your team, but move and get with a team. You might want to look for somebody smart at this moment. Smart people are at a premium. You find somebody smart. We are playing for cash prizes. Find somebody. Just get with them. Come on down. You feel good? You feel good with what you got? You feel good? You feeling good right there? Good? You find solo? You with him? All right. Just get set close to a smart person. That's all you got to do. Whatever. Find you a team. This is cash prizes. All right, everybody got somebody? You know you're ready to go? No change in partners after we start. If you realize you're sitting by Mr. and Miss Stupid, you're just stuck. It's Stuckville, all right? If I say, who was Jesus' mama, and they go, Barbara, I'm sorry, you're stuck. You're stuck with Barbara. All right? Okay, here's the way it's going to work. We're going to start it out. Cash prizes, I'll be keeping points, so just let me know your team name, so make something up for whatever as we go through this. It's playing for cash prizes, all right? We good? We ready to roll? Everybody ready to get this going on? Question number one. Oh, I know you got a mask on. I know you got a mask on, but trust me, we can still hear you, all right? and it doesn't matter how much you yell and how much spit goes out, it's only you that's going to get it, all right? That's the best part about a mask, too. There's no splash zone in front of you, all right? Here we go. Just yell it out. Who was Moses' mama? Jochebed, there we go. Right back there, all right. What's your name? I'm sorry? Natalie, who's with you? Emily. Good job, Emily. You choose your friends wisely. Awesome. All right, Natalie. Natalie's got a point. Here we go. Moses' daddy. Abraham, stud. Nice. Strong work there. What's your name?
Caleb.
All right, Caleb. Are all y'all with Caleb? Now, everybody in this section is wanting to be with Caleb. I can tell right now. All right. Very good. Amram. Solomon's mama. There you go. Bathsheba right there. He gets it. You got to come out strong and proud. If you're not loud enough, he got it. I saw him. What's your name? I'm sorry? Juice World. There we go. All right, that'll work. That's fine. Jesus's cousin.
John the Baptist.
Right back there, John the Baptist. Very good. Nice try. That'll work next time. What's your name? Clark? Mark? Mark, you're talking like you got a mask on your face. All right. Mark, all right. Are y'all with Mark? Everybody with Mark? Right on this side. Lee's going, yeah, I'm with Mark. Absolutely. Got that right. Right here. Whole pew. Whole pew. The whole pew runs all the way up to Louisville and all the way down. Yeah, it's whole pew. All right, very good. All right, who else got points? Raise your hand. All right, we're just trying to keep track here. Got to know what's going on. Who wrote Genesis? Moses. Who was that? Right there. Very good. Yeah. Nice. We'll stay in the Old Testament. Moses' sister.
Miriam.
Very good. Miriam. Has this group got anything yet? Have y'all ever read the Bible? Do y'all know anything? Y'all got it? All right, this is just for them. Just for this pew. We got to get them on the board. Are y'all good with that? Let them get on the board? Huh? Can you steal? Yeah, you can steal. I don't care. All right, you guys ready? I'm having fun with you. You know I'm picking on you, right? At least as far as you know. All right, here we go. Who wrote the Gospel of John? John! Oh, yes! Nice! Nice! On the board. Very good. All right, who else got points? All right. Got around here pretty good. It's pretty good. All right. If you got points, you're still in. If you don't have points, you're still in. All right. Who played James Bond in Thunderball? Sean Connery, well done, all right. Yes. Oh, very good. Very good. That's really nice. Sean Connery has a voice like Moses. That's why that was a Bible question. Have you ever heard him talk? So that's how that got in there. Yeah. He had a voice like Moses. Sean Connery. Yeah. That my wife likes his voice way too much. When you used to have the navigation devices that would speak, she'd always put it on the British voice. But you don't want the country guy? No, I hear that all the time. I want British guy. All right, good. You're on the board now. Were y'all on the board yet? Oh, dude, awesome. You're awesome. I tell you what. Since the Bible's definitely not your thing, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. That's right. I'm having fun with you guys. Trust me. Who wrote 2 Peter?
Peter.
Nice! Dude, you let him steal it from you. Oh, that was mean. But it counts in this game, so that's extra points for him. All right? All right, anybody like my game so far?
Yes.
Yeah? If you've got points, you like my game, right? If you don't have points, and I've done something mean to you, you probably don't like this game, do you? Maybe. I tell you what, if you'll give me 10 push-ups right now, I'll give you extra points. Oh, he's going downhill too. Oh, dude, no, your chest has got to touch the floor. Do we give it to him? Who says give it to him? Who says don't? No, sorry, dude. No, I'm sorry. It's kind of one of those games. All right, here we go. Who was married to Hosea? Gomer, who said Gomer? Gomer's got it. Very good. Actually, that's a 30-point question. That's a 30-point question. So now y'all got 30 plus 1. So you got 31. Didn't y'all get one earlier? Oh, you didn't. Oh, so y'all are in the lead. They immediately go to the lead with Gomer. Anybody else got 30 points? Now everybody else has only got 1. They got 30. Remember that. You got 30. Well, y'all got 20? No, you don't. You only get 1. All right. Maybe you'll get one after this one. All right. What was Amos's occupation before he became a preacher?
Shepherd.
There you go. Nice. All right. That's worth 2 points. That's 2 points. That gets you up to 3 or 5. You got 5 now. 5. All right. So you got 3. You also got it with 30. So that was good with Gomer. That worked out real well. All right. Here we go. Here we go. This one's really important. What was Miley Cyrus's Disney name?
Hannah
Montana! Yes! What did that have to do with the Bible? Absolutely nothing. But it's my game and I get to make it up as I go along. All right. Here we go. I don't know. I just want to throw a Miley Cyrus in there. You don't like Miley Cyrus? You don't like Miley Cyrus? Oh, Nickelodeon? All right, here we go. Here we go. One more question. One more question. Who was Andrew's brother?
Peter.
Thomas or Peter? Which is it?
Peter.
Huh?
Peter.
Thomas. I'm sorry, I'm not going to give it to you. No, I just don't feel like giving it to you. I'll give it to this guy for fun. Yeah. Just out of curiosity, does anybody think this game is fair?
Yes.
Fair? Who thinks it's rigged? Who thinks it's just a matter of how I feel when I get there? That's probably true. Because it is. Because you know who I am? I'm public opinion. And public opinion can do whatever public opinion wants to do because public opinion can change all the time. And the world that we live in is a world that is dominated by public opinion. Has anybody noticed here lately, especially, and y'all have been around to realize how it kind of works, that when you're in a world without God as the focus, chaos is inevitable. Anybody caught on to that yet? The game I just played with you is I was just having fun with you. Some guys I was really mean to because I'm public opinion and I can be mean. Some of you I was really gracious to. Even when they were just throwing out answers, obviously at the wrong time, I was nice to. And I have no idea why because I'm public opinion and it's how I feel at the moment. But if you were trying to play by rules and you were probably trying to answer correctly and you're being like these nice young men up here being very nice and respectful, that's a very frustrating game to live in because it's so chaotic. Can anybody think of a time when the world was without God? Can anybody think of a time when the world was really without God? Yeah, go ahead.
There
really hadn't been a time. You just went and jumped right to my final point. Thank you very much. I just lost 15 minutes of my lesson right now because of you. Gone. But you think of the days of Noah. The days of Noah where every intent and every thought of man was evil all the time. It was a time without God and God could only find one righteous man who was able to be a good leader for his family and not just his sons, but think about his daughters-in-law. Those women had incredible faith. You think about in the days of Judges, somebody turn in your Bible and look at the very last verse of the story of the Judges. The very last verse of the story of the Judges. You probably have studied the Judges, haven't you? Othniel, Eliezer, Timgar, Deborah. That, you sang the song? All of them? It's a time in which Israel's faith was going up and down, up and down, up and down. And what is the whole story all about?
In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes.
That was the law of the land. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And so because everybody simply ruled themselves or everybody was simply controlled by whatever public opinion was, it was a chaotic time. All right? But I want you to also consider, and this is what's really interesting, when you think about a chaotic world, I want you to think about the world in the days of your Lord Jesus. You're all here because you believe in Jesus. But I want you to bear in mind that in the days of Jesus, okay, if you have your outlines, did y'all get a book? All right. This is going to be where you can probably fill in some blanks here. I left a lot of this empty for you because just what's going to be interesting for you. But I think that to me, this is very, very interesting. The world in the day of Jesus was a very chaotic world. First of all, it was only about 50 years before Jesus, all right? Depending on when we're going to say Jesus was born, was it actually at zero or a little bit later? The nation or the land of Palestine was conquered by the Romans by a general by the name of Pompey. So I want you to think about, all right, 40, 50 years before you were born, okay? Where were y'all born? Everybody here born, what, 2000? Where were you born? 2000 what? 2003? Man, I got shoes older than you. 2003? All right, so you're born 2003. So you imagine back in the 60s or 50s, you've heard about the 50s, the roaring 50s, you know, happy days, the Fonz and all that, that in that day and age, the United States was conquered and taken over by another country. Herod is put on as kind of a puppet king. He was horrible. He was so horrible. What did Herod do when Jesus was a baby? He killed the babies. He literally killed all the males under the age of two. In that day and age, it is said, and it's kind of depends on which historian you're reading, 20 to 33% of everybody living in that day and age was a slave. Isn't that amazing? A third of the people were slaves. Now, that was also a part of their lives, all right? It was something many of them were born into, but if you were a conquered nation and you didn't have the means to provide in any way something that would be of substance to the new dominating force, in this case was the Romans, it was highly likely you could become a slave. So a third are slaves. There were no women's rights unless you were married to somebody prominent or you had money. All right, but even then, women didn't have a lot of rights, and in the eyes of many, women were property. The government was corrupt. All right? You ever wondered why the Jews hated tax collectors so much? Anybody ever wondered that? Why did they hate them? Hate them. They would take money off the top. The Romans didn't care if the tax collector took money off the top, if they were getting taxes from Jews, non-Romans, all right? You didn't do that to a Roman. But if it was a non-Roman, as long as Rome got their money, they didn't care if you took a little bit more for yourselves. And they were known as a corrupt men in the tax-gathering business. Divorce for any reason. Now, here's what's interesting about this. That wasn't a Roman deal. That was a Jewish practice. Remember in Matthew chapter 19? When the leaders were actually asking Jesus, hey, you know, Moses, let us give a certificate of divorce. You know, hey, you know, what do you say? And the reason they were asking Jesus about that is you want to make a lot of people mad. You start talking about their marriage situation, they're going to get mad at you. It was all a setup. It's a huge setup. And Jesus said, listen, if you're trying to use Moses for that, you're misusing it because God only allowed divorce by the hardness of your heart. But the religious leaders were allowing it. The Roman authorities were oppressive. So oppressive. How y'all doing with the mask? Everybody loving the mask? Anybody here got mad about a mask yet? Anybody been around somebody who got mad about a mask? Oh, I come here, I'm ready to stop thinking. By that time they spit all over themselves with their mask in place, their life would have been a whole lot better, and they probably just drank a bunch of coffee, which made them madder also, all right? We get mad. Oh, you make me wear a mask. Yeah, who are you to make me wear a mask? In that day and age, if a Roman soldier was walking by you, he could say, hey, I'm sick of carrying my pack. You carry it. And whatever you had going on, it didn't matter if you were late for a great date, you had to pick it up and carry it. He had that authority. That's why Jesus said, if somebody compels with you to go with them 1 mile, go with them two. And then their religion was corrupt. What I want you to see is there's rarely been a time in which you could say that the world operated under the authority of God. Even in its heyday in Israel, in the days back with David, King David, not everybody followed the law of the Lord. But at the same time, even when days were extremely evil, there was always a remnant. We're living in a very challenging time right now. Can everybody agree on that? Is this a challenging time?
Yes.
A pandemic. You're going to have so much fun in about 50 years telling your grandchildren, oh, you won't believe what happened in 2020. Now, 2020 was a year. I couldn't go to school. We had to wear masks. Everywhere you went, they put this gun on your head and they put a laser right in there, y'all. People were getting sick. Couldn't go to Disney World. Couldn't do this, that, and the other. You went to the restaurant, you had to get it to go. Oh, it was horrible. But here's what happens. Satan likes to use these little events. He makes them worse. Because in a society without God, where Satan is the prince of the air, right? And he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He knows how to take one element and stir it up and make it worse into two or more. Anybody here ever gone out and did that to somebody and backed up and they turned to the other person? You ever had that? Hey, what are you sending me for? And you see them get mad and you're literally going, big idiot, I did it. He's mad at them. Nobody plays that game better than Satan. Because he loves to tap us and get us fired up. He loves to deceive and make us somebody else's the problem. And here's where he really gets good. You've heard that verse, that he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is so good, he can devour people with somebody else's teeth. Because he got them mad and they turned on somebody else. And so what you have in society today is you have protest. Some of these protests are really for a good reason. There certainly needs to be a lot said and taught about racial prejudice in any society at any time. And it's something you need to take to heart as well. But look what Satan did. Look how he tapped it. Look how he stirred it. And then now we're in a political season. Oh my word. Even in the best of years, it's nasty. You throw in all these other elements, you have a chaotic situation. What I want you to grasp and see, all right? I think we're all believers here. Would that be fair? That's why you're here. I want you to see and understand that even in the days of Jesus, in the days of Daniel and Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, those are their real names, not their Babylonian names. That's the name their mama gave them. In the days of Elijah, in the days of Jesus and Peter and Paul, it's always been a chaotic world. Because it's a world without God. Jesus comes along, and here's what Jesus had to say about it. He says, I am the way. All right, you want to write this down. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. To us, that is a very strong principle. It is a principle of truth. But to anybody else who doesn't believe in God and doesn't like authority and doesn't respect authority, that is one of the most controversial statements you can ever make. Because what Jesus is saying there, and he's saying it to everybody, there is one truth, there is one way, and there is one life, and it's only through me. Scripture tells us also, and this is in the book of John, this is how John 1:1 begins. And the Word, who is Jesus. In fact, a little bit later in verse 14 reminds us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory full of grace and truth. But in the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Our Lord Jesus is the truth. And taking it a step further, if you go and you look at it from the standpoint of there is an absolute truth, then we see in the Word, our Lord Jesus is actually shared to us in written form. This is the embodiment of Jesus in the Word. Psalms 1, isn't it interesting? The very first psalm has to deal with what is true. It has to deal with what is right. In the very first psalm, in very first verse, shows us a chaotic scene. The person who's willing to hang around the counsel of the wicked will eventually stand in their presence with the sinners, and then eventually will take a seat with the scoffers. But to the person who recognizes where truth comes from, the opposite of chaos, peace, the embodiment of truth, there is a delight that comes from the Word of God. And in that Word, the Lord's instruction, he will meditate day and night. All right? Now, what I've just shared with you are two very, very bipolar views, all right? We're at opposite ends of the spectrum. We've gone from Mr. Public Opinion. How'd you like Mr. Public Opinion? By the way, anybody catch what happened at the end of the game? I didn't even give you any money. Yes, that's a great game. I got you all to play, think you were going to get something, and then I took it away from you, just like the world does. But on the other end, you have a way in our Lord Jesus. All right? So here's what I want us to do now. I want us to think, and this is where I'm going to solicit your thoughts. You're all smart. All right? Let's consider some other ways to establish truth. Okay? All right? Because everybody right now is trying to fix the world's problems. Have y'all caught on to that? You watch a news channel, you watch CNN, you watch Fox News, you watch ABC News, you read anything. Everybody's trying to fix the problems. Right? How are they doing? Now they're still trying to fix it. So here's what we're going to decide. Let's decide maybe, first of all, that science is the best way. All right? Science is the best way to determine truth. How would science be a good use of determining truth? This is discussion. This is where you talk. Yes, sir.
I mean, if you look around us, it's pretty obvious that there's a designer. So it would point towards God, which would point towards further wanting to understand more, which would point towards the Bible, obviously, and understanding all of that.
All right. Can I ask you to hold the creator thought for just a moment? All right, but let's go back to science and organization. Couldn't science show us some organization? Could science be a good tool to see some order? Would that be fair? Yeah. Yes. Let's say yes. 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 All right. Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah. Anybody here not believe in gravity? You don't? Sorry, we'll let you jump off the table up here and let me see how that works. You know, I don't know if y'all knew this. I was a newsman for many years. I used to get paid to watch a space shuttle blast off. It was the coolest job in the world. It was a blast. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. 20 points for your team. Extra 20. All right. But I ran into people all the time who didn't believe. Who didn't believe that man walked on the moon. Seriously. Seriously. There's always people that don't believe in it. But science has great value. It has tremendous value. But let's think about this. Why is science not the best way to determine truth? Yes, sir. Okay, it doesn't mention God's word, and we'll get to that. I'm not arguing with that answer at all. Absolutely not. But think about it from just a very practical, non-spiritual point of view. Why is science not the best way to establish truth? Yes, ma'am. Okay, it's fallible man. Who's actually working it? That would be part of it. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Because if that would be true in science, then they would try to pull out that, oh, the creation
was
the Big Bang. They're trying to pull other science
parts that work. Well, they are doing that, actually, by the way, aren't they? But why would science not be the best way to determine truth? Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me give you an example. Yes, sir. Go ahead. What?
I was going to say, God's already given us the best way to determine.
Y'all are jumping to the best answers, and I appreciate that. You're dead on. But here's why I want you to think about this. Because when you get to college, those answers aren't going to fly. Not that they shouldn't. They're not going to fly. Why is science not the best way to establish truth? Let's take this current situation, for example. How are we doing on COVID-19 science? How are we doing? It's challenging, isn't it? Does anybody notice it's changing? One day you should do this, one day you shouldn't. One day it can cause this, one day it won't. One day it can have these asymptomatic problems, but then other days the asymptomatic problem is not a problem. This study has found this and da-da-da-da. What's the problem? Yeah, it's dynamic. Science is never going to be conclusive because science, and this is important, science always reserves the right to change. And good science with good data will do that. It'll do that. Do you know they had doctors back in the day of Jesus? Good doctors. We just kind of think, oh, it was so primitive, this, that, and the other. The Egyptians had good doctors. But would you like somebody to use Egyptian medicine on you, or would you rather go to the Mayo Clinic and get this medicine? I want the most current, right? A collection of all the data. Does that make sense? So science is going to be fallible because of men. That's a great answer. Science is always going to be changing and evolving in the right way because we need it to. Let's talk about this. I live in Gainesville, Florida. How many of y'all live here in Bowling Green? Everybody in Bowling Green? All right. Your major industry is just the same industry that we got. It's a school. All right. The school is the main industry. All my friends that are associated with the school and teachers at the school, they will tell you the best way to establish truth is with knowledge. Knowledge determines truth. He who has the most knowledge has the most truth. What's wrong with that? Yes, sir. Okay, that can be part of it. Denying it, yes, sir?
Not all knowledge is useful.
Okay, all knowledge is useful. That is so true. I will save that till Sunday morning, all right, when I'll talk about cell phones. Just go ahead and warn you, all right. Yes, all right. Not all knowledge is good for you. What else? Yes. How is that?
God has created boundaries for us for how far I think humans can go. So I don't think, you're never going to fully know. It's never going to be ending. Knowledge is similar to science.
Is it? What did Solomon have to say about the writing of books? Anybody remember that from Ecclesiastes? The writing of books, there is no end. There is no end. That's the way knowledge works. There is no end. And all the information in the world doesn't exactly make something true or not. In fact, what did Paul tell us about knowledge? Knowledge can puff us up, can it? Exactly. It can lead to arrogance. It can lead to narcissism. It can lead to be something destructive. The only other option that I would present to you is the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 7, we read that the fear of the Lord is the best way to determine truth. This is the beginning of knowledge. And what you find in every single book practically in Scripture, there's only a couple where it's not there, is you hear references to the fear of the Lord. Even the early church walked in the fear of the Lord. Noah is described as a man who was moved by holy fear. You even see Jesus himself saying he fears the Lord. Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would fear the Lord. And what you find in that is an understanding that there is one and only one who is truly capable of establishing what is right and what is wrong. There is only one giver of truth, and that is the Lord. And so here's what I want you to think about. Here's what I want you, we're just being practical here in this first lesson. We're just teeing it up for the weekend. We live in a world without God. How are we doing? How's it going? Has there ever been a time that a world without God worked? No. If you really want to do some science, if you really want to dig in some knowledge, go and look at what all civilizations that eventually went through the way of the dodo bird, what they all had in common. And if you go and you find any form of chaos, any form of violence, any form of any kind of action in which there is turmoil and hatred and bitterness and strife, I can guarantee you what every single one of those situations has in common is there is no respect for God. I may be oversimplifying things for you, but to me, the biggest problem in the world is the only thing that can truly solve the world, and that is we need to have a healthy fear and respect of God. So I want to close out with some thoughts here for you. I want to give you a take-home list, okay? So make sure you get this list. Why does God get to set the rules? Okay? Just out of curiosity, would you like for me to set the rules? Anybody be good with that? I'm a preacher. Come on. I'm a nice guy. No? Anybody? How about Mr. Wilson? You want him to set the rules? No? So why does God get to set the rules? Number one, He's our Creator. And not only did He create us, but as Genesis 1 tells us, He made us in His image. This past week, I got to do something extremely cool. My wife and I, we celebrated our 30th anniversary. Can you believe somebody would hang around with me for 30 years? God bless her. She has a free ticket to heaven. She's the only person that God's going to say, nah, not Grace. You get to come on in. You earned it. She's the only one. All right? We went down to the Florida Keys and went snorkeling practically every day. I got a great wife. She loves to do things like that. We saw sharks, tarpon, eagle rays, beautiful coral. And there was a time when both of us got back on the boat, and it was funny, both of us at the same time went, can you believe people don't believe in God? Because it was amazing. He's an incredible creator. So if that was the only reason I could give you, that would be sufficient, wouldn't it? He's our creator. Secondly, He's holy. He's holy. When Isaiah was presented with the throne of God and he saw the seraphim flying around the throne, the seraphim had one saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In other words, He is the purest form of pure. He is the one who is separated from all evil, totally separate, totally separate, totally separate. He is sanctified like no other. He is the only source of what is truly good. He's holy. That phrase, that trilogy of holiness, is also shared in the Revelation. The person you want setting the rules is somebody who is above everyone else. You want somebody who is at a higher standard, do you not? That's our Lord. That's our Lord. Number three, He's holy, but He's also merciful and gracious. Who's got their Bible? Who's got their Bible? Somebody turn to Genesis 34. Exodus. Exodus 34. Exodus 34, 5 through 9. If you've got a Bible, turn there. All right? This is the first time in Scripture that our Heavenly Father actually describes Himself. And here's what's interesting about this passage. Can anybody tell me what happened in Exodus 20? I'll give you 20 points. Actually, I'll give you 50 points. What? Ten Commandments. Very good. Very good. Can anybody tell me what happened in Exodus 12? That's Genesis 12. That's all right, but I'll give you 10 points anyhow for being close. You're in the same Testament. Passover. All right. So what you find is God has just freed the Israelites. And He's just given them law. Does anybody want to know what happened just after He gave them law? They broke it. And Moses broke it too. Thank you very much. He broke all 10 of them. But here's the deal. The one who had just freed them, the one who had just given them law, was the one who was just brokenhearted by them. And was God angry? Yeah. Yeah. But here's the way the Lord describes Himself. Who's got this? Exodus 34, 5 through 9. All right, sir. Read real loud. Read real loud. Exodus 34, 5 through 9. This is God describing Himself.
Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth in worship. And he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquities and our sins, and take us as your inheritance.
Anybody catch what Moses did? And he fell on his face. Don't you know he was shaking? Anybody know what stiff neck means? It's not exactly a compliment. Yeah. Sorry?
Hard-headed,
stubborn, wicked. But when God describes himself, notice, I'm merciful and gracious. I'm merciful and gracious. I tell you, if there's anything you can say about our society right now with all this turmoil and Satan tapping on everybody's shoulders, there's not a lot of mercy and grace out there, is there? It's sad. But your Heavenly Father, the lawgiver, and why he gets to set the rules, he's merciful and gracious. Psalms 103 is also a great psalm, one of my favorite psalms. Read it on your own. We won't take the time now, but that whole psalm is about the mercy and the grace of God. Not only is our Lord merciful and gracious, he's our Savior. He died for us. He's a God who, even before the world began, had a plan to redeem man. And that plan was to give of himself, to give of his son. That's why he has the right to set the rules. He is the Savior. He is not only the law giver, he's the life giver through his own blood. All the people in the world who are wanting to set the rules right now, all the people in the world that are wanting to tell you what their version of right and wrong is, they don't have that kind of sacrificial spirit. But your God does. Your God does. And can I just make a real quick sidebar, all right? Don't ever let somebody say that your God is a mean and nasty God, because they clearly haven't read the Bible. And even if they say, well, that's the God of the Old Testament. No, even the God of the Old Testament was a God of great love. That's why he gets to set the rules. And then last, he's our Father. And he's not only our Father, he's our Father who is a shepherd to us and a guide to us, and he's leading us to heaven. When David looked at the law of the Lord, he rejoiced in it and realized it was more precious than gold, even than fine gold. It's sweeter even than honey and the honeycomb. Why? Because what it leads to. And what it leads to is all the treasures of the Father. And your Father wants you to enjoy heaven. That's what he's doing. This standard of truth, this law, this word of God is leading us as a father leads his children. He's leading us to heaven. In John chapter 14, and we'll close with this. In John chapter 14, as he was speaking to his disciples, Philip goes, show us the Father. He goes, have you not seen me? Everything that I've said, everything that I do, I am the Father. I have shown you the Father in all that I do. And then he tells them this, and this is that passage of great hope. I'm leaving. But I'm leaving to go and prepare a place for you. And I'm preparing that place for you. Because you're going to be with me. Our Lord isn't offering us a world without chaos. Who wants to stay in this world? He's offering us heaven for eternity without chaos. Not only is he alive, He is our Father. And so for the next couple of days, as you sit and listen to Wilson and I share these lessons with you, I want you to remember. I want you to remember what your God, your Creator, your Savior, your Father wants you to have. He wants you to have heaven. He wants you to have a home, treasures that go far beyond your imagination. And He says, I'll take you there if you'll just simply look at the truth. Follow the truth of My Word. For I am the way, I am the truth, I am the lie. All right? That's how important it is. That's how important this is. So let me wrap it up with just one quick thought. I'm proud of you. Proud of you for wanting to be. I know you were hoping. Anybody here a camp person? Yeah, I didn't get camp this year. I've been going crazy without camp. Not so much I went on vacation, but I lived through it, all right? But you've lost a lot. But let me just remind you, that's the way this world works. It's a chaotic world. But even in the midst of the chaos, remember Jesus did it, Noah did it, Daniel and his friends did it. They followed the guide. They followed the way. All right? All right, let's close it out with a prayer. And then we'll have an intermission and then get to do what you really want to do, sing tonight. With mask on. That'll be fun. All right? Let's close with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so very much that You've given us this moment. Dear Lord, moments like these are truly treasures at this time. For we live in a world that is consumed with chaos. And dear Lord, we pray for this world. We pray that a cure may be found soon for this horrible disease. We pray that peace may once again reign in the hearts of men so there's not so much turmoil. We pray, dear Lord, for an end to all racism. But we also pray for peace during the process. And dear Lord, help us to be Your instruments of peace. To know that You've given us Your way and that we can have confidence in that way. And that even in a chaotic world, we can have peace in our hearts. I pray for all these young souls that are here right now. I'm so proud of them, and I know that You are too, dear Lord. I thank You for their heart and their desire to learn more about You. And I pray, dear Lord, that even though this is just going to be a few days that we're together, I pray that we may just soak it all in. Not only learn of your truth, but rekindle all these wonderful relationships with one another. Thank You for the perseverance to press on, even in the midst of so much adversity with respect to this pandemic. And help us to simply see, dear Lord, that You're our Father. And the words that You have for us are words of truth. And help us to trust You. Because we want to be in heaven more than anything else. Be with us through this weekend. Guide us, direct us, and hold us close to Your side. And we ask all this in our Savior's name. Amen. All right, we'll have an intermission for a few minutes. Wait, were there some announcements that need to be made before I release them? Wait, oh, good. There you are. Sorry, McCory. I took over your job. You want to fire me? Sure. Okay. All right, intermission. Enjoy.